Chapter 14. Misgivings. I can scarcely imagine what inspired Horace to this madness. In truth, the very fact of it frightens me. For if even the best of us can falter, then what does that mean for the rest? Lord Manus will lead us in. 7 legions against his 4. Horace will regret this rebellion.
Vulcan, Primarch of the Salamanders.
Istvan 5, during the Great Crusade. No one had seen Vulcan since he had returned from the meeting with his brothers aboard the Ferrum. Upon redocking with the Fireforge, the Primarch of the Salamanders had removed himself to his private chambers without a word of explanation. Artellus Numion had expected a briefing, even an address. Something. The ways of his Primarch were as inscrutable as the very earth he was bound to. Numion dearly wished he could read Vulcan now, and wondered what had transpired aboard the Ferrum that had vexed the Primarch to such a degree. Less than an hour from planetfall, a veritable armada of Legion dropships berthed aboard the flagship vessel, preparing to pierce Istvan V's upper atmosphere. It perturbed the pyre captain greatly that his liege lord had absented himself. Walking hurriedly down the shadowed corridors of the Fire Forge, Numion had yet to encounter a single soul. Vulcan had dismissed his chamber guards, all serfs, and even his brander. So, when the doors to Vulcan's solatorium appeared through the soot-choked darkness of the ship's lowest hold, barring the Engineerium decks, Numion did not know what to expect. Though sealed, the entrance to Vulcan's private chamber was not locked. Flickering loom torches cast a reddish haze over the doors, which parted at Numion's approach, revealing a deeper shadow within. Crossing the threshold into the room, Numion tried to still his thundering heartbeat as the reek of cinder and ash enshrouded him. Like the corridors outside, the solatorium was dark, but abjectly so. Numion felt Vulcan's presence before he saw him, as a man feels the presence of a monster when he is let into its cage. The door sealed shut behind, and the dark became absolute. "Come," uttered a deep, abyssal voice. It came from the center of the room, a circular vault made from obsidian. Around the edges, Numion heard the crackle of coals, the embers within their brazier troughs casting off a faint glow. In this wan light, he discerned the shape of a large, kneeling figure, its head bowed so its chin was leaning on its fist. Even in the utter darkness of the branding chamber, Vulcan was resplendent. Clad in his full panoply of war, a sublime suit of power armor forged by his own hand, the Lord of the Drakes was immense. Studded with quartz, rubies, and gems of every hue that had been dredged from the Nocturnian earth, the Primarch's battle gear flashed with captured fire. On one shoulder guard he wore a massive drake skull, whereas the other was affixed with the jade-colored hide of a second beast. Without his helmet, Vulcan's glabrous scalp shimmered in the lambent forge light. As he stepped further into the chamber, Numion caught his reflection in the obsidian's black surface, wreathed in mirrored flame. Like his lord, he was wearing his full battle plate. A long drake-hide mantle cascaded from his shoulders, and a snarling war helm sat in the crook of his arm. In his other hand, he clasped the haft of his glaive. The Volkite beamer attached just below the blade was chromed and ready charged.
"You seem anxious, Pyre Captain," Vulcan breathed, intensifying the fuliginous pall around him.
"Orbital bombardment is due to commence in less than an hour, my lord. And you request my presence on the muster deck?"
Breathing slowly and deeply, Vulcan released another heavy exhalation, renewing the volcanic stench cloying the air. Such strength and savagery, clothed in armor and flesh, Numion could almost believe that beneath the onyx-black skin, that Vulcan was a drake, a beast of primordial myth, trapped in a man-shaped vessel of bone and blood.
I have prepared the Legion. They are oathed to the moment and await your order,
Numion said, unable to hide his agitation. Vulcan sensed it at once.
Speak freely, Artellus. I won't have secrets between us.
Numion cleared his throat and came a step closer into the light.
What are you doing here?
Ah, Vulcan smiled. Numion caught it in the change in his voice.
That's better.
The hide of Kesare, hanging from Vulcan's armored shoulder, unfurled as he stood, giving it the illusion of reanimation. Kesare had been a monstrous beast, one of the deep drakes. Vulcan had slain him as part of a contest against another warrior, a stranger to Nocturne, one who had called himself the Outlander. It was only later revealed that this strange visitor was, in fact, the Emperor of Mankind, a being of such immense power and wisdom as to defy definition. Everything had changed that day. Truths kept from Vulcan had been revealed, his destiny and purpose. His father had come, his creator in the truest sense, and Vulcan had been cast unto the stars, where he was reunited with his intended legion. Numion had rejoiced at the Primarch's return. He had been late to do so. Lost on such a remote and volatile world, Vulcan had been amongst the last of the Emperor's sons to be found. The Salamanders had suffered in the Great Crusade before that, as a desire to prove their worth almost resulted in their extinction.
You think this is a poor time for self-reflection, said Vulcan.
It wasn't a question, but Numion gave the only answer he could.
Yes, you are needed. We are on the brink of war, about to engage warriors in battle that we have fought beside. Warriors we once considered allies.
And this troubles you, Artellus?
Greatly.
It should. But do not let that rush you into ill-considered action.
Oh, of course,
Numion answered, now bowing in response to Vulcan's chastening remarks.
Raise your head, Captain. Did I not teach you to meet me eye to eye?
Numion lifted his chin.
I remember, my lord. You remade us, alloyed us, even as we looked into the very abyss of self-annihilation. Without you, we would not have survived.